What we're going to do today is we're going to focus in on the gains of glory. The gains of glory. One of the greatest things in the world is the greatest thing in the world is to have everlasting life. And one of the reasons why we preach is so that people will have everlasting life. So what we're going to do today is we're going to title our message, The Gains of Glory. And we talk about glory, we're basically just really another name of heaven. One of these days, we'll say we're going to go to glory one of these days. And that's just another word for heaven. Now, what I'm going to do today is give you a total, if I can get them all in, is six gains of glory. Six gains of glory. And that's what we're going to be looking at on this particular subject, okay? All right, let's go ahead and get the first one here. The first gain of glory is, of course, everlasting life. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, it says in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, one of the greatest things that we have as God's people is everlasting life. Everlasting life is the greatest possession that you could possibly have. You could be rich in all types of money and all types of possessions, but if you don't have everlasting life, you don't have anything that's going to last. The thing that gives you eternal life is trusting Christ as your Savior. And when you do that, He gives you everlasting life. And that's what we have in Christ. That's why we preach. That's why we have the doors open, like we've already said before. It's very important that people have everlasting life. So the first gain that we have is everlasting life. You obtain eternal life the moment you call on Jesus for salvation. The moment you call upon Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to be saved," He will give you everlasting life. Now, there's a lot of people that know about everlasting life, but at the same time, they've never trusted the gospel message that gives you everlasting life. So that's the most important thing you can do in your life, is have everlasting life. But Jeff, will we die one of these days? Yes, we will die if the Lord don't come. We don't know if the Lord... You know, the Lord could come today. Before this service is over, the Lord could come today. Now, wouldn't that be an awesome thing to hear the trumpet go up and Christ will come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise? I mean, what a day that'll be. And that could happen today. It could be today. I think one of the things we do is we don't talk about it enough. And we don't talk about how great it is. And I think we should talk a lot about everlasting life. The rich people in this world are the people that have everlasting life. Now, you could be the richest person in the world, but if you don't have everlasting life, you're not rich. If you die without Christ and you die without eternal life, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. So, that's what we're looking at today, the gains of glory. And the first gain of glory is everlasting life. That's the greatest thing that we have. The scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, you don't know when you're going to die, and I don't know when I'm going to die. And everybody listening to me don't know when they're going to die. But the most important thing in the world, when we look at these gains in this particular text, the most important thing in the world is that you have an understanding of what the gospel is. You got to realize that you got to trust the gospel message in order to be saved. You say, you talk a lot about that. Yes, I do, because that's the only message by which a sinner can be saved. And that's one of the reasons why we speak. That's the reason why we share the gospel message with us. Everlasting life's the greatest gain you can have. There's nothing more valuable, there's nothing greater than having everlasting life. One of these days, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about everlasting life, but it uses a little bit different terminology. It says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If I would die today, I would be absent from my body. My spirit would leave my body, and then it would go to be with the Lord. That's what would happen. I don't know when that's going to happen, and you don't either, but the main thing is always to be ready for it. Anytime, you know, somebody that you love and somebody that, you know, you run with, or somebody that's in your family, it's so great to know that they have everlasting life. One of the first things that I do a lot of funerals, but the first thing I ask is what? Was they saved? Was they saved? I tell you, that's what makes all the difference. I mean, you could have the greatest home, you could have a bank full of money, and you could have the greatest cars in the world and all the things that people live for, but I tell you, if you die without Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, you need this gain of everlasting life. You need this more than anything else. And if you would ask Jesus to save you, He'd give you everlasting life. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. That's what the gift of God is. Would you say that's the greatest gift that possibly could be given to anybody? It's to be given everlasting life, and we would love for you to have it. Well, the first gains we're looking in this message entitled The Gains of Glory, the first gain is everlasting life. That's what He gives you when you trust Him as your Savior. But if you don't trust Him, then you don't have it. Then you don't have it. And I want you to have it. All right, let's go ahead and get the second gain. The second gain of glory, and it's entitled we've looked at this one recently, but it's Luke 23 and verse 39 through 43, and it talks about the thief on the cross. And the reason why I like it so much is it's easy to read, and it shows how important, it shows how sinners saved, I believe. I think it really puts it right down where you need to have an understanding of it. Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. Now this is when Jesus was dying on the cross, and he had two malefactors. A malefactor is a criminal. There was Jesus died between two thieves. He died between two thieves. So this is what I'm reading about. It says, and one of the malefactors, or a criminal, which was hanged, railed on him. This guy was mocking Jesus, like everybody else in the crowd that day was mocking Jesus. And he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, doth not thou fear God? Now let's stop here just a little bit. This one thief had a change of heart. Y'all agree? He had a change of mind. He had been a mocker like everybody else was. But he heard Jesus made seven statements from the cross. And he heard some things from Jesus as they were dying there that day outside of Jerusalem. Let's go ahead and read on. But the other answered and rebuked him. Now you'll see this other man, he was just like the other thief in the beginning, but he's had a change of heart or a change of mind And that is a good way of giving it, it's talking about redemption. It's talking about having everlasting life in the text. He says, now, dost thou not fear God? Dost thou not fear God? Seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, and we deserve what we're getting. He said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He's not done nothing wrong. He recognized Jesus was sinless. He recognized that right from the cross that day. He recognized that. And Jesus said, here's what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He asked in verse 42. He asked in verse 42 to be remembered. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Did he save that man? Is that not a good example of whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Isn't that a perfect example of it? That's what he did. That's what he did. So, the first gain is everlasting life in the gains of glory. The first gain you gain is everlasting life. The second one is that you're also going to gain paradise. We're going to go to paradise one of these days. This thief who was saved is going to go to paradise. He's already in paradise. And one of these days we will meet this man that we preached so often about. So, paradise is just another name for heaven. Okay? So the first gain is everlasting life. The second gain is heaven. Can you imagine not going to heaven at the end of your days? I just can't even imagine that. I mean, you look at all the things that people live for all their lives. And we like to talk about retirement a lot. And that's a good example to use, I think. But retirements don't last very long. They don't last very long. Sometimes people have about a 15-year retirement or a 20-year retirement. I would rather live for the eternal, wouldn't you? I don't want to live for the temporary. I want to live for the eternal. And the only way you can have the eternal is by trusting Jesus. That's what he gives you. And that's why he saves you. That's a great gain. What have we seen so far in our gains? First gain, number one, is everlasting life. Second gain, number two. Gain number two is paradise. That's the second gain. One of these days we're going to go to heaven. And there's nothing any greater than that. Number three. Let's look at the third gain. We're looking at the gains of glory. Those who have these gains, if you just had one of these gains, it would make you rich. But we're looking at six of them. All of these gains. That's who the rich people in the world are, is the one that has these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Gain number three is mentioned as the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 23. Let me go ahead and read it. Read it to you. Hebrews 12 and the verse 23. It says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written where at? Written in heaven. See, that means there's a roll book there. And when you're born again, your name is written in heaven. The scripture says to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. There's nothing any greater than that. So he mentions the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written where at again? Are written in heaven. We sing a song in the church. Is your name written there? My name's written there. Very important. Very important to have. Very important to know that's what you've gained through Christ. It's the greatest thing ever. In my state, in the text that I read, Hebrews 12:3, it says the spirits of just men made perfect. That's what we're looking at right now. That's a great gain for us, isn't it? The spirits of just men made perfect. In my state that I'm in now, I still sin. And you still sin. You're not perfect in this flesh, vile body. You're not. And what's important, when you look at this, you gotta remember that one of these days the Lord's going to give us a new body. I'm going to get a new one. And that new body, that's going to be a tremendous gain, because that new body don't sin. See, this old body, this old vile body, what Scripture calls it, this old vile body still sins, still has evil thoughts. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body, and it's going to never sin or age or die. Can you imagine getting a body like that? It's on its way. We're going to get it, and we're going to have it one of these days. It's the greatest thing, one of the greatest things we look forward to. It's going to bring about a change in us. And we will be at one time, or one day, we'll be perfect. Scripture says, here's another text. The Scripture says when we see Him, we will be like Him. Now, I want you to think about that. When we see Him, we will be like Him. Let's look at our fourth gain now. The fourth gain is the gain of the new body. This body, as we've already said, is vile. Vile body. It's a vile body. And one of these days, it's going to be changed, and we're going to get a new body. And that body will never get sick, never sin, and never die. Those are great gains, ain't they? These things are priceless, as I've said many times in the past. The first gain is everlasting life. The second gain is heaven. The third gain is perfection. He's going to give us a new body one of these days that'll never sin. And the fourth gain is heaven. The gain of heaven. That's where we're going to be going one of these days. All right, let's look at two more gains and we'll bring this message to a close. Let me ask you that are listening by way of the live stream, would you not like to have these things? Would you not like to have everlasting life? Would you not like to have everlasting life? Have you ever trusted Christ and received everlasting life? You know He'd save you right now. If you'd want, He'd save you right now and give you everlasting life. Well, what if you die? Well, the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. One of the things we talk about with regard to when someone we love dies, I told my mom whenever my dad died, I said, oh man, I miss him, but I said, he ain't in that ground. He ain't. He's in heaven. When we look at that ground and I think we have respect for the grounds where people are buried and things, because there's going to be a resurrection. But when a child of God dies, here's what I want you to understand. You go off to be with Jesus immediately. You go off in spirit. I mean, the spirit, it goes up whenever you die. And then it goes off to be with the Lord. You go to heaven just as soon as you die. Isn't that wonderful? So when you have loved ones and you know Christ as they did, or as we do, let me put it that way. If you know Christ as your Savior, that's the greatest thing you can have. And that's the greatest thing you can share with other people, is that wonderful, everlasting life. It's one of the greatest things you can have. Okay? All right, let's start to wind this up. Let's talk about the fifth gain. Let me give them to you again. First gain is everlasting life. Second gain is heaven. Third gain is the new body. The first is the new body. We're going to get a new body one of these days. We're looking forward to that. This old vow one's going to be what again? It's going to be changed. Now I want to give you the fifth gain. The fifth gain is Jesus. This text in Isaiah 33:17, I love the text. Thine eyes shall see the King. Thine eyes shall see the King. And behold the land that is very far off. I want you to listen to it now. Thine eyes shall see the King. And behold the land that is very far off. What's that far away land? That's another name for heaven. That's another name for heaven. The fifth gain is Jesus. We're going to gain Jesus one of these days. We get to sing our favorite anthem hymn is What a Day That'll Be When My Jesus I Shall See. Jesus is everywhere, isn't he? We talk about him being in heaven, but he is in heaven, of course, but Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. He sees all things. He sees all things. So, the fifth gain is Jesus. And one of these days, we will get to see him. We'll get to see him. And we will be with him. Death is a horrible thing. But, when you're born again, and you know Christ, it's a wonderful thing. He's took the stinger out of death. Scripture says, O death, where is thy sting? You know what Jesus did? He took the stinger out. He took the stinger out. I might die one of these days, but my death will have no sting. Those who die without Jesus, their death will have a sting. You need to trust Jesus, beloved. You need to trust Him as your Savior. And you need to do that today. Happens with preachers and things that deal with people. A lot of people talk about spiritual things. They talk about heaven and they talk about hell and they talk about all these things. But they haven't trusted Him. They've never asked Him to save them. They've just never done it. They know they should, and they know one of these days they plan on doing it, but they gamble that there'll be another day. You don't put these things, you that are listening to me on this live stream, I want you to understand, you need to know you're saved, and you need to ask Him to save you if you've never did. If you put this thing off, I've been a pastor for 40 years. I've been a pastor for 40 years. And there's times that I've dealt with people and told them about Jesus and told them about eternal life. And they, I know. One of these days I might. And then they die. Then the family will come and say, Jeff, you talked to him. You talked to him, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Did they make a profession of faith? I said, I don't know. They never did. I talked to them and stuff, but as far as I know, I don't know whether they did or not unless they asked the Lord before they died or something. I don't know. The greatest thing that you can leave behind to your family is the knowledge that you as a man or a woman, boy or girl, have trusted Jesus. That's the greatest thing you can leave behind, because that's what carries people when they die. When my daddy died this past year, I never cried, and I never cried because I knowed he was better. I knowed he was instantly better. I knew he went off to be with Jesus, and I know he didn't have that crazy disease called good pasture syndrome that nobody in the world's ever heard of. I thought it was a blessing when he went. I praised God for it, because you know what I told the people down there that day? I said, my dad ain't in that hole in the ground. My dad's in heaven. Ain't that a wonderful thing? We believe this. We know this. This is the greatest thing that anybody could ever have. And you that are listening to me, I don't know how many's listening. Have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever received Him as your Savior? Or do you continue to put it off? If you'd get down on, you don't even have to get down on your knees. But if you would just call and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to have everlasting life. And He'd save you and give you everlasting life. This is the sixth gain we have in Christ. We're going to have perfection. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. If someone says they're perfect, the Scripture says they're a liar and the truth's not in them. That's what it says. We're not perfect. One of these days we will be, though. We'll be perfect. We won't sin. There'll be a time in my life that I'll never sin ever again. That's what I look forward to glory for. I look forward to seeing Jesus more than anything. But I really look forward to getting that new body. I'm going to get a new one. And the reason why I want that new body is because I won't sin no more. I won't have evil thoughts no more. See what I mean? There will be a day when this body will put on perfection. And we'll never sin. We'll never sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I don't know when this is going to be. I don't know when this is going to go down. But it could go down today. How is it? How is it with you? The gains of glory was the title of this message today. I'll give you the first one. The everlasting is everlasting life. The second one is heaven. Heaven is a great gain. The third gain. The third gain is a new body. The fourth gain is spirits of just men made perfect. The Holy Spirit one day is going to give us a new body, but our spirit of just men made perfect. And that's in the new birth. That's a wonderful thing. The fourth gain is a new body. The fifth gain is seeing Jesus. And the sixth gain is perfection. And one of these days, we're going to experience all of these tremendous gains. I thank you for listening in. I pray that the Spirit of God will touch your heart to have a desire to trust Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to come back tonight, 7:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m. I always tell you I do it every time now. I'm used to it. By the way, we have radio broadcast on Monday, 7:30 p.m., 107.9 FM. 7:30 tonight, we have our evening worship service and Wednesday worship service at 7:30. Come on out and be a part of it. See? Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for being here and being able to preach. Father, we can't do anything without you. We're thankful for the people that help in this endeavor so we can get the gospel, out. I pray for our land, Lord. I pray that, you touch souls and you turn this time around, Father. We're thankful for salvation above all things in this world. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you.